in a different place. And so about 2008, 2007-ish, we began to feel a stirring in our heart. And as we prayed and sought God, it drew us even closer to Him. And He didn't necessarily give us the answer right then. He said, well, God gave you the answer and you knew what you were going to do. No, He really didn't. I knew that when I was 13 years old and I was praying praying at an altar on a Sunday evening church service, I began to cry and pray, and God showed me a vision of doing what I'm doing this morning at 15 years old. So I knew that that was part of my life, or I felt that it was. I said, well, God, this is either me dreaming or it's you revealing to me what you want to do in my life. But I had no idea in 2007, 2008 that God was taking us into a transition of a different path. And I believe that God has that for each one of us. See, God isn't satisfied with us being where we've always been. And so God speaks to our heart and stretches us into places where maybe it's different. It's beyond us. It's bigger than us, and which is normally what God likes to do. He normally likes to take us into a place that we're not comfortable in our own shell, which is why we have to rely on Him to bring us through that next path. But God began to deal with Chris and I, our heart and our life, and given us wisdom and direction. And we sought other men and women too to pray with us in a small... I don't believe that your circle should be everybody in the world and you call everybody and say, here, pray for me, tell me what you think. Because if so, that just breeds confusion, because everybody has their own opinion about you. But God has one opinion about you, and that is He wants to bless you. So we had a small circle, a real tight circle that we knew that God were praying is mainly Crystal's mom and dad, so dear to me and close to our life as we were walking through this, and they were praying with us. And God was leading and guiding us. We were up in North Carolina these last few days, left Thursday at noon, and got back yesterday afternoon around, I don't know, sometime late in the afternoon. And we went up to North Carolina to celebrate our youngest grandson's birthday. He turned one a few weeks ago, as a matter of fact, and Jordan got sick, so they had to cancel the birthday party, so it was rescheduled for Friday. So we were up there. So as we were driving back yesterday afternoon, we stopped in South Carolina to gas up, and I was standing there gassing up, and Crystal walked into the store, and she walked in there to get something to drink, and as she was standing there, she said she came back out to the car, and I don't know, that jug was what, about that tall? I'm not exaggerating. I know I'm getting there. She said, it's for both of us. I said, uh-huh. Anyway, it's about that tall. So she said, I got one for us to share. I said, yes, you did. She said, what happened? She said, I got there. They had the regular small, medium, large, but this particular store in South Carolina, they had a new size, and it was called extra, extra large, right? Extra, extra large. So if you see those, you'll know, man, that thing, it held some drink. But what's interesting is, as I was studying and praying, and then she told me that yesterday, she said, when I was standing there trying to think about which one to get, which size to get, she said, it's like I heard your voice say, which is the best deal? I said, well, you chose right. She said, yeah, honey. She said, it was only a few cent more for the extra, extra large. I said, you did good. You know, we drank that thing, and when we got home yesterday afternoon, we still had that much left at the bottom of it. But in the small things in life, God wants to speak to us and give us insight, give us direction, even in the small things. It's because if we can trust God in those small things and we get so used to that, Him talking to us in those times, we know His voice, that in those large, serious times, when you need a decision, you're praying about, God, what do you want to do? This career move or this situation, this problem or this issue in my life, what do you want me to do? We know that He'll speak to us. The Bible says that God's sheep hear His voice. God's sheep hear His voice. I can walk. We have two little Dachshunds, and I can walk outside with them. The oldest one is 8 years old, and the next one is 3 years old. And I don't know. Somebody made them rotten as they can be. They are just pure rotten. Anyway, so we'll walk outside, and they know when it's time to go in because I'll either whistle or I'll say, let's go. They'll hear the sk, and so their heads will pop up, and they know they're used to what that sound means to go in. Of course, they've got to really want to go in. If they're distracted, we'll get in that in a minute too. Sometimes we're there. But we get so used to hearing a voice in our life, and that's the way God wants us to be, that we hear him so well that we follow after him, that we know God's voice. Jesus tells us a story in Luke chapter 8, verses 5 to 8. It says, a sower, a farmer, went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. So some of these seeds were stolen by the birds of the air. Some fell, verse 6, on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. There were no nutrients there. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. So these seeds were choked out by weeds. Verse 8, but others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. Now, who wants that crop? Who wants that one? The soil of these other seeds, they fell on good and right ground, producing fruit. And when Jesus had said these things, he cried, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is saying a whole lot right here. But what does this story have to do with God's voice? Well, if we look down in verse 11, he defines for us what this seed represents. As he was talking about these seeds, he says in verse 11 of Luke 8, he says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, or the voice of God. The seed is the word of God. The results of God's voice will vary based on the ground that it falls onto. Let that soak in. God's voice, the results of that will vary based on the ground that it falls onto. And I believe we're the ground. We are what's receiving the voice of God. The same fruitful seed, I can bring up a handful of seeds, and we know that's great seed. We know that these seeds, they have the potential of producing some great fruit. And I can say, each one of you get one of the seed, and then in a couple of weeks, let's get together and see what everybody's experiencing in their seed. And so some seeds would wind up in a pocket and they'd forget about it. Some seed would fall on the ground between here and the car. And then other seeds would wind up getting home and being planted and watered and nurtured. And so that seed, the very same seed, the potential of the seed is the same, but it all depends on what is done with that seed. Will be what the fruit is based on. So there's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the voice of God. It's that the ground that it's falling on sometimes reacts differently to it. And so Jesus is talking about his word and the effect that it can have, the potential that it can have in each one of our lives. And so God speaks to us. And as he speaks to us, it's falling on different ground. And if we're the ground, then we're receiving that seed, and then we're responding accordingly. The seed isn't unproductive. The ground is what will dictate the productivity of that seed. And so Jesus is communicating in this story reasons why we don't hear God's voice. And I think this is important. Why don't we hear God's voice? Well, there are many reasons, but if we take the story that Jesus gave us, the first reason is because we're robbed. We're robbed of the voice of God. It's not that he's speaking, it's just that something comes along and robs us of that voice. So when we get in a tight time, we heard it on Sunday. Maybe we read it on Tuesday, as Elder Denny said, he reads a devotion every day, and that word going in every day, we read it, it goes into our mind, it goes into our knowledge, but unless it gets into our heart, it's not going to bring forth fruit. And so many times, things in our life will rob us of God's voice, of God's word. Over the years, Crystal and I were talking as we were driving yesterday, even as Crystal and I were dating. Crystal's dad always had a boat. I mean, he always had a boat. And so as we were dating, we'd go out fishing. We'd go to Turtle River and fish and catch fish. And so we fished, I don't know how much over the years. We go fishing together and love being out there. But we would be fishing in the boat. We'd stop, anchor down, and fishing. And then all of a sudden, I would feel a little bump or a little snag. Think, well, let me wait. It might be something there. I give it a few minutes and nothing else. So I wind up reeling in the line and looking, and lo and behold, there's nothing on that hook. It's kind of hard to catch a fish without something on the hook. And so this is what we would say. Something robbed me of my bait. That's the words that we would say. The very next words, oh my goodness, something robbed me of my bait. So we bait that hook back up and we throw it back out again. And so sometimes that's where we are. Something comes along in life. We're sitting there tending to our own business and minding our own business, and all of a sudden something comes along and robs us of the very thing that we need in life, of the nutrients, of the fruit that's going to come forth. We're robbed and something takes it. Luke 8:12 says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So the word of God, what he's telling us, the voice of God, is actually building our faith to believe and to be saved. How many know it takes faith to believe God? It takes faith to believe his voice and what he says. And so sometimes our walk with God is the same way. We're walking with God, and the next thing we know, something comes along and robs us of that thing that we know. We know it, but what about this? We start questioning, and we have God's word robbed from our life. The reason we're robbed is because something or someone knows the value of that thing in your life. See, the devil knows the value of God's voice in your life, because God's voice in your life, once it takes root and gets into good soil, it's going to bring forth life and blessings. Because if you can believe God at his word, what he says about you, for you, it will change your life. And there's one that knows that as good as we do, if not better sometimes, and that's the devil. The devil knows that if we truly believe what God speaks about us and how much he loves us, our life will be changed. And so the devil, that's why he comes and robs that thing, because he knows the value of that in your life. We were talking the last few days with somebody, and they were talking about how some people are blessed financially and how some people are blessed abundantly in finances. In this particular conversation, he was talking to me. He said, but you know what? Some people say, well, money is of the devil. But wouldn't it be, if money was of the devil, he'd make everybody rich? Think about it. So the devil wants harm to come to you. He wants something to take your eyes off of Christ. Now, I'm not saying there are plenty out there that has you, the Bible says that the roots, well, while we're talking about money, the love of money is the root of all evil, right? So it's the love of money. And so it could be money, it could be a house, it could be a relationship that you put over God. So our love of that thing can take the place of God in our life. The Bible says, have no other gods before you. So it doesn't matter what it is. If it takes precedence over God, if our attention is over God, then it's taking our eyes off of God onto that thing. And so the devil knows the value of God's voice in our life if we truly believe what God says about us from start to finish and everything in between. And we believe that, our lives will be changed. I remember we hadn't been married too long. I thought about this story in a long time. We hadn't been married too long, and we were living in a little trailer, and we had saved our money. So Josh's bedroom, he was firstborn, and this bedroom, we went in there and bought carpet. I laid the carpet myself. It was so nice. The room was about the size of this podium. I mean, it was small. But I did a great job of carpet. I mean, I hammered it out with my knee, the tool. Put wallpaper on it, about that much wallpaper on the bottom of the wall was tractors and stuff like that. And so anyway, the only problem was there was one air conditioner in that entire trailer, and it was at the other end of the trailer. So it got hot in those rooms down the hallway of that trailer. And so we saved up our money, went to Sears, and bought a Kenmore air conditioning unit. Yes, sir. I sure did. Put it in the window of that air conditioner. So we got in there, and of course Josh, he was always a chunker. He was a big boy. He came in here, how big was he? 8'15 and a half when he was born. So he came in here a football player. And so it wasn't until he got to walking he kind of dropped some of that, and now he's that big. But so he was hot natured, so when he slept, he needed to have some air on. He was like his daddy. And so we cranked that air. Well, one day we went somewhere and was gone for a few hours and came back, and we pulled in the front yard, and that AC had been taken out of the front room. It was gone. The window was still up, the AC was gone. And man, you talk about hurt after all that saving and everything that we did to buy that little $150 Kenmore air conditioner from Sears. But the devil knows the value in your life, and he will catch you when you're not looking and take the very value out of your life so that you will be looking at that thing rather than looking at God and his faithfulness to you. So the devil will come around and he'll steal, and if he can steal your attention off of him, then he knows that you're not looking at God, you're looking at him, you're watching him. And we don't do that intentionally, but it happens. And Hebrews 3:14 says, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." Where's our confidence supposed to be? It's supposed to be in God, believing and trusting him. The quality of life we experience tomorrow is the fulfillment of the voice we listen to today. The quality of life we experience tomorrow is the fulfillment of the voice that we listen to today. We're all listening to a voice. What voice are we listening to? We must hold, we must guard what God is speaking to us. James 1:21 says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word." I love that. Implanted, in other words, it gets in our heart. It's an implanted word which is able to save our souls. The second thing that Jesus talks about in the story here is that we become distracted. We become distracted. Oh, look at there. Look at there. So we're on a path and we're headed in the right direction sometimes, but we become distracted. Our eyes flinch here. And we're all busy. Everybody's busy. You notice that? We're all busy. But we still must have our priorities in the right order even when we're busy. God's always got to be first. If not, we fall flat on our face. Well, what happened? Well, God wasn't first. We put something else in our life. We became distracted by something else in life that we thought was more important than God. And if you're not careful, when that happens, it's only a matter of time. If God isn't first, we put something else in front of that, above God, and our eyes become focused on that thing or that person, that event, whatever that is, and that thing cannot bless us in the same way that God will bless us. And so we become distracted. Distractions away from God is like unproductive soil. It's like taking the seed and just chunking it to the side. The potential is there, but what we've done with God's voice, we've disregarded it. We've become distracted, and it can't bring forth fruit. Luke 8:13 says, "But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time a temptation or distraction fall away." David was a man after God's own heart, but David became distracted. Now he came back around, so that gives hope for all of us, right? So it doesn't matter where we've been or what we've done. What matters is how we finish, where we are today, where we headed. Thank God by his grace and mercy, he doesn't judge us based on what we did yesterday or last week or what he does. He bases our blessing and how we're listening and following him based on what we're doing now and where we're headed. And so sometimes our distractions, while I'm there, sometimes our distractions become focused on what I've done. Well, I can't go this way because of, if you only knew how bad I've been. And so our distractions sometimes can be, God, you can't be speaking to me. You got to be speaking to somebody that's a little more perfect than I am, got it all together. I know your blessing is for them because they look good, smell good, they've never done anything wrong. Which really isn't truth. But that's what we think, and we based we base our future blessing on what we've done in our past. God said that's not it at all. Why else would he give his life? Why else would he die and give his entire life so that you and I could live and be saved? So we have the temptation then of being distracted by that thing, by the past. Even your current situation, you can be distracted by what's going on right now. Well, Mike, if you knew what bad things were happening right now, you would know that there's no way I can be blessed by God. Well, God can bless you. God can prosper you even in the midst of trouble. He's a pro at bringing a miracle out of nothing. I mean, he's done it a bunch of times. And so to get away from distractions means that we've got to daily meditate on God's word. We've got to know what it says, but more than just words on a page, we've got to know what it says and believe what it says. If God wants to prosper you in all of your ways, we know that we've got to acknowledge him for him to prosper us. We meditate on God's word to rule out distractions. What is nurtured will grow. What is starved will die. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." So our perfect peace is found not focusing on the distraction, but focusing on how good God is. Our mind is stayed on you, so in that is our perfect peace. Thirdly, Jesus in his story talked about hindered growth. What hinders our growth? Back years ago, we had eaten some watermelon. I don't remember. Y'all were probably at the house. Somebody ate a lot of watermelon. I don't know. I'll blame it on y'all. We had a bunch of watermelon. So all those watermelon seeds, we figured we had nothing else to do, so we just put them in a cup. We had a red Solo cup, and we piled that thing full of watermelon seed. We just piled it in there. Well, a few days later, I said, you know what? Rather than throwing these out, I'm going to go out behind. We had a little pool house back there, and so I'm just going to chunk them down there. And unbeknownst to me, it was moisture. It was kind of in the shade. It wasn't direct sunlight, and it had some straw around it, so I chunked them. You won't believe this. A couple of months later, I walked back there, and there were little watermelons popping up like that everywhere back there. I didn't do anything to do it, but the nutrient in the ground, I guess the dampness and the coolness, there's no direct sunlight. So we grew some watermelons. I told the guys that were cutting the grass, I said, don't touch the watermelons. Mow out around it, do whatever you got to do, but don't touch the watermelons. We ate some of them. And so, but there are things in our life that can hinder our growth. My grandparents, they always up in North Carolina, my mom's mom and dad, Mama and Pampa, we developed those names when we were that high. And so Mama and Pampa always had a garden. And they knew good and well when they planted those strawberry seeds, and man, they had some of the biggest, fattest, reddest, sweetest, juiciest strawberries I've ever seen. Of course, it could be that me as a child thinking, hey, there's no other store could have it more perfect than Mama and Pampa. Anyway, so we would roll up there in midsummer, and Mama and Pampa would try to hold off on picking those strawberries, at least one or two rows until Lynn and I got there, me and my sister got there. When we got there, we started picking strawberries, getting dirty. But they knew they had been doing it so long that they knew how far along those strawberries would be at certain times of the month and weeks later. And they knew what to look for in the health of that strawberry. They knew when they'd be ready. They knew how many days or weeks it would be before they started blooming. And they knew if something was hindering the growth. And if they saw something was hindering the growth, they would make changes to the area so that it would no longer be. They didn't believe it that way. So, well, they're being hindered, so it'd be fine. They didn't do that. They spent a lot of time in that garden, and they grew all kind of stuff. They corn and peas, and it was a big garden. They had one side of their entire yard that was a couple of acres there, free land that they tilled and spent time every afternoon after work tending to it. So they didn't want anything hindering the growth of that garden. They supplied the family with vegetables and fruit. But some things were wrong, such as some bugs. There were bugs to get in the garden. Those roots that maybe they had to pull. Nutrients, they maybe sometimes had to add some nutrients. Us city folks wouldn't know what to think if we smelt some of the best nutrients put in the garden. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes there wasn't enough water. They had to put some more water on that thing. And so they had to find out what was hindering the growth in that garden. Well, see, it's the same with us. What is hindering our faith in God? Have we been believing for the same thing for months or years, and we're still stuck in that same rut of being hindered at our growth? God has made everything, even the foundation of the earth, God has made everything to grow, to mature. And it's no different than in our walk with God. Our walk with God, He wants to cause us to grow. Now, it's not in us to have the ability to grow on our own. If we had the ability to grow on our own spiritually, we wouldn't, I mean, why would we need this? We would just grow up, and we'd grow up smart, and we have all the answers. We could help each other, and look at there, we're growing. But we've got to have God. He gives us words of wisdom, not to only do the practical things in life, but also the spiritual things in life. Things to look for, things to know what hinders our life from growing and prospering in Him. And so the same things that hinders a natural garden could hinder our spiritual garden, our mind and our heart and our spirit. Things can weave its way in there. Bugs and roots and not enough nutrient, not enough water. And it's all found in the Word of God. Luke 8:14 says, "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and they bring forth no fruit to maturity." These things hinder our growth. And it's totally for another Sunday to talk about the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. We know that there are certain things that we've got to care for in life, and the other things that we're to have no anxiety. Riches, God's going to bless us with riches, but we know that we can't let riches rule our life. God wants us to have pleasure. No, see there, God doesn't want us to have any pleasures in life. No, He wants us to have pleasures in life, but they can't take us away from pursuing God. And so these things, if we allow them to, it says they become hindrances to our life. They choke. The word used here is choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, that they bring forth no maturity. Growth. God wants us to grow. God wants us, the things that we were believing for, to grow in greater things to believe for. Because God wants to bless us. For example, if we believe God for salvation, it takes faith to believe God for salvation, because He's not going to come up to us and say, "Here, I've got salvation for you. I love you. I want you to be saved." So we have faith in believing that God wants to save us at this stage in our walk with God. But then in this stage in our walk with God, we've got to believe God for a healing of cancer. And so God, in His faithfulness to us, can bring us from this faith. Salvation is important. We've got to have salvation to see God. To this place where we've got salvation, but now we're here and we're believing God for a miracle to live. The same God that provides salvation is the same God that provides healing for cancer. And so we can't limit God, but it's our maturity, our walk with God, that He brings us from one phase to the other. We're not born and then 20 years later the same size we were when we were born, right? So something has hindered the growth. And so our vocabulary changes, our demeanor changes. So God wants our garden of life to be fruitful, to multiply. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God. So growing sometimes means pruning and weeding. That's the part that's not as fun, right? I don't like the pruning and the weeding and the things that God's taken out of my life. But we know that just we wouldn't allow that nice, healthy garden to leave the weeds there because they're so pretty. Those weeds are so pretty. Bailey loves the yellow flowers, but those yellow flowers and those weeds get in that St. Augustine grass, and it can choke the life out of it. So we've got to pull it out. Well, that pulling out is not fun, but it's necessary so that that grass can be thicker and greener and we can be more healthy. That's part of it. We get to the place where we trust God so much, God, I don't like you pulling that thing out of my heart, but God, thank you that you love me so much that you're going to do that. And then last, as he speaks to us in this parable, he talks about the unkept seed. Unkept seed. Goes back to what I said a while ago, is we have a seed, it's been unkept. Has anybody ever seen an unkept garden? Isn't it beautiful? Not at all. It's ugly. Somebody get in that thing and deal with it. Now, I'm not a gardener, but Miss Edith is. We have several in here that are good gardeners, and they can grow a tulip out of nothing. I mean, good grief. Beautiful. How many know it takes dirt, it takes nastiness to grow a nice plant too? So even God in our nastiness of life, he can use that to be the very soil that's nutritious enough to grow something beautiful in our life. But an unkept seed, an unkept garden, it's got weeds and all that, and no matter what it used to look like, if it's unkept, it looks bad. It looks real bad. Something that was so beautiful at one point can be so ugly as it's unkept. Well, God talks about that. He talks about the unkept garden in Luke 8:15. It says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, kept it, or keep it, and bear fruit with patience. So as we keep our seed, as we maintain our seed, in other words, it promotes fruit. It brings about fruit because we keep that. We keep all the things out of it, all the bad things. And so God's voice is speaking in our life, and if we get to a place of confidence, wow, I've grown in God, and then before we know it, we've let this thing creep in and that thing creep in and that voice creep in. We've got a lot of voices around us, y'all. We've got a lot of, I mean, if you want to know something, just turn on the radio or turn on the TV. They've got an answer for everything. From a backache to mental ache. I mean, it doesn't matter. You can get an answer, but it's not the right answer unless it's found out of the Word of God. And so if we allow things of the world to get into the garden that God wants to bring about fruit in our life, that garden becomes unkept, and things grow in, and it starts getting ugly, and the straw disintegrates. It's unkept, and before you know it, what was once beautiful is now being choked out. The life is being choked out of it. If I didn't get rest that I needed, if I didn't eat some nutritious stuff, now I think vanilla ice cream is good for you. Somebody said it came from a cow, and the cow eats grass. So, all right, well, I know I'm pushing it. But if I didn't take care of myself, if you didn't take care of yourself, then you couldn't be healthy. You couldn't live a long life because you're not kept. Well, our spiritual walk must be kept in order for us to live a long life, live a long, healthy, and prosperous, and fruitful life. Psalm 119:11 says, your word I have hidden, or I've kept in my heart. We've got to keep God's word in our heart. We can't just read it and go about our, well, I've punched my car for today and I'm okay. I'm good until tomorrow. But we've got to keep his word in our heart. He goes on to say that I might not sin against you. We don't have to sin every day. Why? Because we have God's word in our heart. And when we go to make a decision, we hear his voice. Ah, what's the best deal? Go that way or go that way? And so we're so used to hearing God. We read his word. I'm not saying he's going to be an audible voice. He could. But I can't say that I've ever heard the audible voice of God. But I sure know that he's talked in my heart, because he's given me revelation on things that I had no clue about. He said, do this, do that. And I've done it, and it was God. It sure wasn't the devil blessing me like that. And so God has spoke things into my life that I followed through on, and it's been blessing. But it's things that I had no clue about before I heard his voice and acted on it. So we've got to keep his word in our heart. We've got to trust it. And to the point, now I'm not saying that we will never, ever question. We may have a conversation one day, and it may go like this: Mike, I don't know if this is God talking or the devil talking. And I'm asked that often. How do I know when God's talking to me and when the devil's talking to me? And my immediate response is, number one, does it line up with the word of God? So God's not going to tell you something that contradicts his word. This is the foundation of our walk with God and our relationship with God. So he's not going to say something, okay, I know I said that in that verse, but that's not what I meant. This is really what it's going to always flow with the word of God. And so that's my first reaction. My second reaction is it encouraging, is it blessing, or is it tearing down and destruction? There's another sign. So God's word, even though it may hurt, is in love, and it's encouraging, and it will cause you to grow. And so once we learn that, and that's part of our daily life and living, then in situations we pray and ask God for revelation and what to do, that he will bring blessing to our life. Sometimes it is correction. Sometimes it is a weeding or taking things out of our life. But a lot of what we have to do in our life to hear God, a lot of it is what we do in our response to him. So our response to him does not change what he says. He's still saying the same thing. But what we do changes our response in how we are to him and what fruit brings about in our life. God's voice will always bring about spiritual maturity, physical maturity, and mental maturity. It's always about our entire being, mind, soul, and spirit. Physical, mental, spiritual. And that's God's voice. Crawford, come on. We're going to spend more time these next few weeks talking about God's voice. So as Chris and I were in this situation in 2008, and we're trusting God, we're believing, we were two solid years into me not sleeping a whole lot. I wasn't sleeping a whole lot. I was worried about what I was supposed to do more than what God was going to do. I was worried more about, did I have the ability to do what God wanted me to do? And so I had to come to a place where my eyes were taken off of me. And if nothing else, during that two-year process, we came here in January 1st, 2010. During that two-year process, God was working on me. And he was strengthening both Chris and I. He was doing something that had to be done in preparation for the blessing that he had at hand. And I know when we came here back in January 1st and met with the elders and talked with Pastor Don, as he was the founding pastor here and had spent 12 years here pouring into it. During the latter half of 2009, the church had gone through some painful experiences. And I didn't have the ability to bring the healing for that. And so not knowing that this was the church that God had planted for us, not knowing that this was where we were supposed to be, that two-year process was me developing my ear to hear God's voice. He knew what he was doing. He didn't tell me. But from 2007, 2008-ish and forward, as Chris and I were walking, we knew that stirring in our heart. God was bringing about an ability for me to hear him and to trust him. Why? Because there was something that he had just ahead that was going to require me to really track him. And so that's where we are, individually, families, and in a church. God has you in a place right now that he's making plans and preparations for you to bless you, but he's got you in a pattern right now where you've got to learn to hear him so that you can learn to trust him and follow him. So sometimes we get to a place where we say, God, why are you withholding that blessing in my life? I've prayed about this, and God, you're withholding that blessing in my life. God's saying, I'm not withholding anything from you. I'm trying to prepare you to receive the blessing. He's preparing us. And I don't care how old we get, God is always preparing us for something greater. Miss Betty Ensink, I was in a meeting last week, and we were talking about Miss Betty Ensink and her, such a prayer warrior. She was in her 90s when she went to heaven to be with the Lord. And God was always using her. God was always stretching her. Her faith was always being stretched. She'd say, Mike, I've got a word for Josh. Can you have Josh call me? When's Josh coming to town, our son, 34 years old? And so Josh is, a lot of what's in Josh is words that Betty spoke over him. And he's serving God, and he's raising a family. And so what I want to tell you today is this. God's voice is speaking to us. We've got to listen to him and follow him. And if you're at a place today and you say, well, I know he's saying this, but I'm scared. I'm scared. I don't know if I can trust God. Listen, it doesn't matter how big it is. More than likely, what God's going to do in your life is bigger than you. Everything so far has been bigger than me. You ask my wife. She knows me pretty well. And she knows the things that God has put in my life has been bigger than me. But out of 36 years of marriage, God has built us stronger than we've ever been. And as we walk together, we see God do greater things all the time. And it's not anything about us. It's all about God. What Elder Dean said a while ago, it all belongs to him. And so God has that same blessing for your life. What are you struggling with today? What are you facing today? What is that thing in your heart that's hindering you and holding you back? What is that distraction? God wants you to grow beyond that thing. She's agreeing with me. See there? She's saying amen. She knows it's true. God wants to take that distraction out of your life to where you can trust him and go wholeheartedly for him. And don't think that, well, if I get this together, get that together, if I accomplish this or accomplish that, then I'll be ready. Listen, God will take care of all that. He'll take care of all of it. You don't have anything to worry about. We just need to focus on him. He's speaking. He's talking. Get all the things out. Say, God, I want to hear your voice today. Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads together. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. You love us so much, Lord, that you don't want the cares of life to distract us, Lord. Even the pleasures of life, God, you want to give it to us, but you don't want it to be a distraction to us. The worries, the frets, the different things that we face every day, God, that you did not put it there, but Lord, you're using it to make us stronger to where we can focus more on your voice and to know that you're speaking to us. Lord, today I pray that we don't allow anything to rob us from your voice. That we recognize the trick of the enemy and that we run toward you. Lord, I pray that today that we're not distracted by other voices, but Lord, we're focused on your voice. That we know you so well that even though we can't see you, we know it's you talking because we recognize your voice. I pray, God, that we'll see the things in our life that hinders us. Maybe there's some changes we need to make, that we don't allow those things to hinder us from growing in you. We don't allow things in our life to hinder us, God, to be distracted away from you. And God, I pray that we'll keep your word in our heart, that we'll keep it, that we'll maintain it, that we'll not think once a week is good enough. Sometimes once a day isn't even good enough. God, we need to spend our time with you, and even as we're working, even as we're playing, even as we're spending time with our family, God, we keep you the center, the focus. Help us, God, to keep your word, keep your voice in our heart, to keep it, keep out all the things that take away from it, God. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing today. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing today. God, you're faithful. You never fail. And God, your word is forever and for always. God, the same word that you spoke all these years ago in your word, Father, they are not only relevant, they're important to our relationship with you. Lord, I pray that as we receive communion today, as we prepare, Lord, to receive and to remember the price that you paid for us, Lord, I pray that we'll do it in remembrance of you. God, that it wasn't one event long time ago that we just recognized it was done. But Lord, we know that the effects of you dying on the cross, that you shedding your blood, that you giving your life, going to the tomb 3 days later, raising up, raising from the dead, sitting at the right hand of the Father. God, we see that as important and as our future, not only as our past. Not only something that you did, but Lord, you're doing it every day. You're shining forth your love for us because of what you did. It's relevant to us and important to us today and for eternity. In Jesus' name.